All right, it's Dave Player back with you here on 720 WGN. So there's a new play at Chicago's Greenhouse Theater called When Harry Met Rehab. It's a comedy that takes sobriety seriously, and it's a story based loosely on the real-life experience of Chicago sports radio personality Harry Tynowitz. Co-authored by former ESPN personality and playwright Spike Matten, it's an evening in the theater that will leave a mark that is flat-out funny, moving, and unforgettable. And you know Harry and Spike from the old WLUP, WMVP, and of course right here on WGN, and they both join us tonight. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Wow, Dave. I am sorry you had to read all that, Dave, but thank you.
Yeah.
thanks for writing it.
I'm writing all that down. That show sounds good. I think I'm going to talk about ours. You know, I was in rehab, in 2011, you know, where we'll say another radio station in town, a sports radio station with four letters, pretty much, you know, gave me the choice to, stick around by going to rehab or of, saying adios muchachos and muchachas. And I chose to go to rehab, and of course they insisted, David, that I write a an open letter, make a statement telling people that I was going into an anonymous program. So that happened also. But you know, Spike has been one of my closest friends for 30 years, so he knows all about it. He had written two plays before, so we got together on it, and it's there, ready for all of Chicago to come enjoy.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. I mean, you first thought of writing this like as a one man show, but I think as you began writing it, that you found it quite cathartic, I'm sure, just getting this all down on paper and really with brutal honesty, and it just kind of helps you get through the story, right?
You would have to see Harry's original attempt was like more of a novel, you know, it was like 70-page Word document kind of think if The Shining meets Unabomber Manifesto meets Rehab.
Good Lord. Yeah.
So yeah, cathartic would be an excellent excellent word. And then there was just too much, you know, and it just had to be expanded.
Yeah. It was definitely cathartic, Dave. And I was just like so frustrated that I'm sitting around waiting for a call from this person, waiting for a call from that person. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna write something tangible. I'm gonna have something, you know, like some kind of a tangible product when I'm out of this situation and back on the air or back doing whatever it is I'm meant to do next. And I showed the Spike. He said, "Wow, this is surprisingly good." Which is like, a compliment and a slap in the face all at once.
Yeah, well, I bet it is. But I will tell you, the play's gotten really great reviews. I mean, one after another. So you got it right.
It's been very encouraging because the real challenge was trying to, you know, make sure. I mean, we understand sobriety and the challenge, but that what we wanted was an experience in the theater that was just going to be universally entertaining and didn't depend on you going to rehab to enjoy it.
Right, exactly.
That was the challenge.
But the story itself, guys, and Harry, your story, it's good to have somebody in your role that people know and can relate to in this because it just doesn't make them feel alone. Because we know, you know, anyone that's been through rehab or anyone that knows somebody that's been through rehab, and I know several people that have that, you know, alcoholism and other addictions impact people in all walks of life. When you think of, you know, back to the Loop days as a loyal listener, you know, you listened all day. And I think, you know, fans of both you guys got to know you, you know, working with Brandmeier, with Bonaducci, and then having your own show. And we always got, I felt, brutal honesty from Harry and Spike, from Harry when he was on Johnny and Danny Bonaducci. You got very raw conversations so that when you experience all this and decide to sit down and put it on paper, now you have an opportunity to reach back out to those fans and to new fans and show that brutal honesty in a whole different way and help them through what they're dealing with.
Boy, I could just said that better myself. And if you don't need rehab, spend 2 years with Bonaducci and you will.
Oh my God. I'm sure. Oh no, I am absolutely sure. When first of all, I got to ask this question, cuz you know, you guys have talked about, you guys, and you have known each other a very long time, like Spike, when did you first meet Harry? Harry, when did you meet Spike and start doing stuff on the air together?
Well, we met doing stand-up comedy.
Right.
We were both doing stand-up, and we were aware of each other, but the first time we really met was, there was a road gig in Des Moines, Iowa, and we drove together, and that was the week where we got to know each other, driving and hanging out in Des Moines, Iowa. Mm-hmm. Fabulous spaghetti work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to tell you, Spike is the, you know, stand-up comedy is a way, another quick way to get to rehab, but Spike was the first guy I ever saw bring an actual camcorder to the club each night to tape his set. And I'm you know, looking at him one night as he's packing it up to go back to the hotel while I'm going out to the bars. I go, Spike, you know, this is really a pain in the butt. He goes, you know what would be a bigger pain in the butt is if I'm at this club with you next year.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, he was always working and writing. Yeah, and yeah. Like I said, you know, most comics jump out of bed 2 minutes before SportsCenter, you know, the next edition is going to start, and they go from there. But, you know, I wanted to write, you know, from the heart about my story. And for all the partying I did, I had no idea what rehab was. This is how dumb I was, David. I didn't know, Dave, that rehab meant that you're quitting drinking and that you're going to a meeting all the time.
Yeah.
And you're saying you're an alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. And going into it and going through it, you know, you come out the other side. You obviously want to avoid going back and doing it again. And is that kind of what you said to yourself? Look, I gotta put this on paper. I know my story. I know the public knows part of my story. But I want to put this down, write it down, and maybe that helps you, you know, keep sober and do your thing.
Yeah, you know, for me, I just wanted to kind of like let people know what rehab was.
Yeah.
And the stuff about me is like 90% true. The stuff about the other people that are in the show, that's like, you know, 10% true. I had three roommates, so Harry has three roommates. And, you know, I had a therapist named Barb, so Harry's got a therapist named Barb. We combined, you know, like I had a good idea to combine, you know, like all the different, you know, women I knew and based a character on them. But the program that we're in, the program, you know, clearly says we don't talk about other, nor would either one of us want to talk about what other people are going through. So, you know, there were key things that we did that, you know, needed to get out there in terms of the script that we wanted to do for the script. And then there's other stuff that I just thought this is something people should know.
I don't want to give anything away, but there is a time in when you're in rehab that you and your friends are spending every evening in rehab watching Cheers reruns. And I thought to myself, that's interesting, because now you're watching people hanging out at a bar, but when you think about what Cheers is all about, it's about friendship, it's about camaraderie, it's about being with your friends, whether it's a bar or somebody else, it really has a different meaning to it.
It's kind of funny, because when Harry and I met, one of the things that we used to love to do was to get together and, oh, we'll say, relax while watching Cheers reruns.
Okay, all right.
So it's kind of funny that became kind of a story within the story that we ended up using to tell this story.
You know, and you know, we have to spend every night that, you know, I mean, my rehab facility, you know, doesn't do inpatient anymore. It only does outpatient. I can't imagine doing that. I mean, so much of what, even though there were these great, you know, group therapy sessions in the morning, you know, there were lectures and stuff in the afternoon. There were different, you know, tricks and stuff in the afternoon that I wasn't a fan of, but I loved therapy, and we'd go to a meeting at night. But what really made me want to come home the most, get sober the most, was that I wasn't at home at night.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's really, you know, impactful you know, to show that I was just, you know, alone at night. And I was really alone because my three roommates, all that stuff going, two of them had girlfriends and they were never there. And then, you know, the other guy, I was never quite sure where he was. And so there were a lot of nights I spent alone watching Cheers.
Gotcha. Gotcha. There's also a point where you write a letter to your liver.
Right. And I actually had to do that. And Spike hated that scene.
Oh, really?
Spike's like this. See, here's what Spike does. He writes really well. Mm. You know, I got to learn how to do that at some point. And I actually wanted to have a person dressed as a liver on stage in the play. And Spike goes, wow, you could just destroy the entire show in one scene. So, I kept trying. I mean, I kept trying different ways, different scenes, and all the way to at the end, after they do the curtain call, I wanted the liver to come on stage, like in his robe and slippers, going through his mail, going, opening one up, Harry, you know, just.
You've never seen anyone more committed to getting a dancing liver on stage in your life.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But you know what? Got to laugh. Got to laugh and get through it. We're talking to Harry and Spike, Harry Tynowitz and Spike Manton. The new play is When Harry Met Rehab at the Greenhouse Theater in Chicago, now through January 30th. For tickets, you can visit whenharrymetrehab.com. And there's more with them next on 720 WGN.
Dave Plyer, WGN.
Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Harry and Spike, Harry Tynowitz and Spike Manton. The new play at the Greenhouse Theater in Chicago is called When Harry Met Rehab, now through January 30th. Harry, like when you first saw rehearsals and so forth, and actually seeing it opening day and beyond that, what was it like watching someone portray you on stage?
Well, I was fortunate that it was Dan Butler, you know, Bulldog from Frasier. He's been nominated for a Drama Desk, so he actually made me look better. I lost 50 pounds immediately. through the program that we're in, we learn how, you know, kind of like when you're at a wake or a shiva, sometimes it's so depressing. The only way to handle it is kind of like to, you know, start telling funny stories about the departed. And, you know, they teach you in my program to, you know, learn how to be incredibly honest, and you got to laugh at yourself. You got to laugh at what happened. Don't hide it. Don't sweep it under the rug. You know, laugh about it. I'd come, you know, Spike and I have come to when we're quiet, you know, when we're in these meetings, to be very respectful of the program and respectful of the other people. But, you know, we're not the only ones. I mean, you know, there are people that are, you know, telling stories that make you laugh your ass off. And to sit there and watch it was like the first time that my secrets and stories were going out in a community that wasn't, you know, the program that we're in. So, you know, it was kind of weird because opening, you know, the first rehearsal, the table read where they just sit around and read the script, people are like turning and looking at me going like, did you really do that? Mm-hmm. I'm like, come on, there's 40 people here that made a life in the theater. You're telling me none of you guys are doing rehab? Come on.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you said Dan Butler from Frasier, of course. Melissa Gilbert, known best, of course, from Little House on the Prairie, ran the Screen Actors Guild for quite some time. How did they make it to these roles? Like, how did that process work?
It's a miracle. That's how.
Great.
Don Clark is the producer, and he is the man who gets the credit for putting such weight behind the production. I mean, there's many levels that this show could have been produced at, and Don just delivered it at the highest level. The cast is just unbelievable quality, top to bottom, with two stars in it. He got the best set designer, the best light designer. He spent, you know, all kinds of money upgrading the greenhouse space to make it something that people walk in and go, I have not seen this space look like this in 20 years.
That's cool. That's great.
It's just a first-class production. I just can't encourage people to come out enough. It's just, you're just going to have an enjoyable night of entertainment. This is it's about rehab. It's about sobriety and drinking, but it's just a funny, good time.
It's not for alcoholics. It's
right.
A play.
Yeah.
You know, it's a play for people that like having a good time at the theater. It's so great to be able to go to the theater again and everybody that walks in has to have proof that they were vaccinated, and they have to keep their mask on except when they're actively, you know, drinking, which is what the whole play is about, but I don't actively drink anymore. If you're drinking or eating, you can take your mask, you know, slide it away for a second, but otherwise it was like you forget you're wearing your mask after a while. It's just great to be back in the theater, and I don't want people, especially I don't want people to think that this is just, you know, for you if you're, you know, affected by alcoholism or someone you love is affected by alcoholism. You know, there are people that you have lived next to, not you particularly, but there are people.
Not wrong.
There are people who are living on the same block with people that have been in our program for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and they've got no idea. You know, they've got no idea. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, that this has helped a great deal. And people that are in the program have said things to us like, boy, it felt like if I was just at a meeting.
Yeah, gotcha. You know? No. That's what I said. The reviews up front from everyone, from the Tribune, the Times, and so forth, have been stellar. And it's a great story. It just happens to be a true story. But it's a great story. You'll enjoy it. You'll laugh. You'll have a good time. And that's what's truly important. I have to say one thing to you, though. You know, Melissa Gilbert, and I don't know if you guys know this. Did you know that, and I was just looking her up today, that her grandfather discovered Jackie Gleason and co-created the Honeymooners? Did you know this?
Yep.
You did?
Yep. Yeah, awesome. I learned that about 10 seconds ago. I had no idea.
She has an incredible showbiz lineage and history.
Yeah.
It is she is a rock'em sock'em Hollywood kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised to read that. That's pretty cool. Yeah, that he discovered him and co-created the show. All right, I have to ask you before you guys go, because I'm talking to Harry and Spike here. Bears-Packers on Sunday.
Yeah. there's a good chance that it could make Harry drink again.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not good.
Justin Fields is starting, and, you know, I hated Brett Favre. I still hate Brett Favre.
Yeah.
But I always thought Aaron Rodgers was kind of cool. So we had this whole, you know, were you vaccinated? Were you not vaccinated?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just think if there's a God, one more time in my life, the Bears will beat the Packers.
Yeah.
So that's what we're hoping for.
This would be one would be so great.
I mean, if everybody was healthy on the Bears defense, if they had an offensive line, you know, and, you know, everybody keeps saying, oh, it's the best line the Bears have had in years. Well, it's still, like, not a great line.
Yeah.
You know, I had better lines in a bar when I met a girl. You know, I hope the Bears win. You know, I'll be watching the Bears. It's like, you know, Don Clark, who Spike mentioned before, our producer who also owns the Chicago Magic Lounge, you know, he's got the matinees at 3 o'clock. I'm like, Don, can't you do them at 3:30 so we could watch the Bears, you know, in case it goes long?
Yeah.
And he goes, you might be done watching them by 1:30.
Yeah. So, I think the game's on at 3:30, isn't it?
Oh, man, it's a night game, actually, this week.
Oh, it is. Okay, there you go.
We've got performance, you know, it's our show is, you know, when Harriman Rehab is running at the Greenhouse Theater Wednesday through Sunday. There's an 8 o'clock show every night, except for Sundays at 7. Then we have matinees at 3 on Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Awesome.
And there's a seat with your name on it, Dave.
I love it. I'm coming. When Harry Met Rehab, now through January 30th, the Greenhouse Theater Center, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. And again, for tickets, very simple, whenharrymetrehab.com. You know, thank you guys for coming on and chatting about this. I truly look forward to checking it out soon. And have a great holiday, man.
We'll see you at the theater.
Sounds good, guys. All right.
Thank you, James. Great being on with you. Long-time listener, first-time visitor.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks so much, Jerry. All right, top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom are next here on 720 WGN.